Welcome to Steppin' Out of Babylon, produced by Sue Supriano. Babylon is everywhere. It's the isms and schisms not only within the system, but within ourselves. Let's unify, stand aligned, and step out of Babylon.
Hi, everybody. My name's Sue Supriano, and my guest today is Ed Rosenthal. Ed Rosenthal is a student of marijuana, among many other plants. He also grows orchids. I've just been looking at all the many, many plants of orchids, and he's been a student of plants since he was a child, and not just a student, a grower of. His most recent books are Easy Marijuana Gardening and Ask Ed, Marijuana Law, Don't Get Busted. But he also has many other books. One is considered the Bible of marijuana growing. And, well, I'm not going to go down. There's so many books, Ed, that I think I'm not going to list them all, unless you want to add a couple of other ones. So, marijuana is something that's used by many, many people all over the world, really, and it's illegal in the United States. There are some places where we've passed medical marijuana laws, even though the federal government kind of ignores that fact. What percentage of people in California voted for medical marijuana?
It was more than 60%.
Mm-hmm. And how many states is medical marijuana been voted in?
It's 8 states voted it in, and then in Hawaii, the state legislature passed a medical marijuana bill.
Mm-hmm. So, in any case, the federal government is still prosecuting people for marijuana, for growing it, smoking it, selling it, carrying it, possessing it. And how did you get into researching this subject so thoroughly, Ed Rosenthal?
I had always had an interest in botany and horticulture, and so it seemed natural once I came in contact with marijuana to fool around with it, try and grow it, research it.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I got into it.
Mm-hmm. And, as they say, you've been really a prolific writer, and you wrote for High Times magazine, too, for many years. You said 18 years.
17 years.
17 years. So you really are an expert for sure. Well, what do you think is going on right now politically with the issue of marijuana in the United States? We have a new administration in process right now. This is the very beginning of January in the year 2001. Is it going to get worse or better, or what do you think?
You often think that with the Clinton administration, it couldn't have gotten worse, but I think that it can get worse. You know, with the Clinton administration, over the eight-year period, we went up from about 350,000 marijuana arrests a year to 700,000, and I think Bush would like to redouble that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't look forward to it. On the other hand, I think that politically the scene is changing. We see it in the culture on TV, mainstream TV. We see it in the music and people admitting it, using it, and so on. And so I think that that Bush is entering into a different political scene in regard to marijuana than perhaps his father had.
Why are they so intent on making something that so many people do and so many people want, and there's so much evidence for the positive effects of marijuana for health? Why are they so intent? What's the driving force behind this, keeping it illegal and prosecuting people for it? Use of marijuana, use in selling and possessing and growing.
There are three main groups. that have an interest in keeping marijuana illegal, and all of them profit handsomely from the prohibition. Now, the first group is the pharmaceutical companies, and they know that should marijuana become legal, that many people would seek relief from pain and from other problems using marijuana rather than prescription drugs. So since 1937, they have been involved in keeping marijuana illegal. Then the second group is the recreational drug companies, such as Anheuser-Busch and other alcohol companies, as well as tobacco companies. And they feel that if marijuana use went up, alcohol and tobacco use would go down. And so they've been very active in the anti-marijuana campaigns. And the third group is the combined forces of all of the legal system, from the beat cop, whose union pushes for harsher and harsher penalties, to the narcotics officers who are directly involved, to all of the people, for instance, who told you to vote against Prop 36, the judges, the lawyers, the prosecutors, the people who work in the jail system, the people who supply the jail system construction companies, and so on. This whole prison industrial complex that includes millions of people all profit from marijuana prohibition. And so those are the three groups.
In Proposition 36, we should explain for people who don't live in California, because that was a California proposition.
Yes, Prop 36, which has passed and is now law in California, takes effect June 30th, 2001. And what that law says is that rather than use a prison model and criminal model for treating people, to use a harm reduction model. So rather than going to prison, people are sent for rehabilitation, go to rehabilitation and programs and so on, and are left without a criminal record.
Well, that definitely seems it's definitely a step in the right direction. Of course, theoretically, I don't see why you should have to be rehabilitated for something that's not bad for you in the first place.
Well, the way I look at it is, even if a drug is bad for you and you choose to do it, that you should be able to do it. And I think that if we had that attitude, we wouldn't criminalize a lot of people who do, for instance, bad drugs. For instance, if people are doing cocaine or heroin, and especially heroin, because it's prohibited, there's a tremendous cost for it. So people have to become criminals in order to supply the habit. And I think that instead what we should do is have a harm reduction model where we try and wean people off of it, and as well as help them deal with their lives so that they don't have to use drugs as a crutch.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you think that people should be weaned off of marijuana?
Marijuana is an unusual substance. First of all, it isn't a drug, because drug is an artifact of human manufacture, and marijuana is a plant. It's a crude herb, and even its derivatives, such as hashish, basically are crude herbs that have minimal processing. So the question was, do I think that people should be weaned off it? Well, as I said, marijuana is unusual in terms of recreational substances that people take. You know, if you ask an alcoholic, well, do you think this is good for your family? Would you recommend that your children or your loved ones do it? Or heroin, or most of the drugs of abuse that we talk about, cocaine, speed, people would say, no, I don't want my, maybe I took the wrong turn, but I don't really think this is good for my loved ones. I wouldn't recommend that they do it if they were honest with themselves. And on the other hand, with marijuana, people don't think that it's harmed them. The people's own self-image regarding marijuana is that it has not harmed them, that perhaps it has even been a positive influence in their life.
Mm-hmm. I must say that I personally have known people who've smoked for 40, 50 years and then stopped, and it's been no problem at all.
It's not highly addictive. There's a scale of addiction, and marijuana is very low. You know, the drug that it, or the substance that's probably most addictive that people use is coffee, and people don't realize its addictiveness till they try to stop. But on the other hand, coffee doesn't have a lot of negative effects, so that even if there is an addiction to it, it doesn't seem to harm people. So we're not just looking to free people from addictive drugs. What we're really looking for is harm reduction so that people hurt themselves the least. And certainly using marijuana as a euphoriant is a lot safer than using alcohol or many of the pills that people take.
Mm-hmm. Can you say more about that, about its safety?
Well, there's a publication that the United States government puts out called the Drug Awareness Warning Network. And this tracks a number of deaths every year from substances and many other causes, but mainly from substances. And if you look at it through the years since it's been published, there's never been a death reported from the use of marijuana, which is more than you can say for aspirin or prescription drugs, which aspirin kills between 5 and 14,000 people a year. Prescription drugs are estimated to kill 50,000 people a year. A lot of that's hidden because of happens in hospitals, it's accidents, and so on. So marijuana is just one of the safest drugs. And on another thing, if you look in there, they also show emergency room visits because of the drug. And it's an extremely low percentage. And then another thing is that there are a few groups like Marijuana Anonymous, but when you look at whether people go to rehabilitation spas of one sort or another in order to solve their marijuana problems, you'll find that the only time that they go is based on court proceedings. But there's a very, very little voluntary admission for marijuana problems.
Mm-hmm. Some people say, well, it's psychologically addictive. Maybe there's no reason to think it's physically addictive, but it's psychologically addictive. I mean, you can also say that just about everything is addictive. The whole society is addictive. But what specifically do you respond to this issue of psychological addiction, just for the record, Ed Rosenthal?
Well, if it's psychologically addictive and people have a problem getting past it, you'd have a lot of self-help groups or different groups to help people with this, such as for tobacco, you know, you can go to commercial places, you could go to the Y, you could go to your doctor, and all of these people are there to facilitate your getting off of tobacco. But we just don't see a lot of psychological counseling places to help people get off marijuana. When people want to stop using marijuana, they just do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, as I say, I've seen it happen many, many times myself, that people just want to stop, and they just do. Yeah. So I heard somebody say recently that it's my experience, that there's growing support for legalizing marijuana at the same time that the officials are coming down harder. It's this real contradiction. Have you noticed that?
Yes, I have. I think that the politicians are in disbelief. They just don't believe the polls. They don't believe the elections. And sometimes they just totally disregard them. For instance, different sheriff's departments in California said that they're not going to obey California law. They're just going to do whatever they like. So it shows a real contempt for the voters that the politicians have. That's basically what it is. It's a contempt for the voters. And their attitude is, well, even if the voters passed it, we don't like it, so we're not going to enforce it. And this starts with the Attorney General of California and works its way down. It's really insulting.
Yeah, it's even worse than insulting. It's if this was happening in another country, it would be called certainly very undemocratic, to put it mildly.
I think that Rwanda and Sudan are going to be sending election observers next year or for the next presidential election, since the election in the United States has been so bad, they're going to have an international team of observers, especially in Florida, California.
Is that true?
Don't you think it's true?
I haven't heard that about Rwanda and the Sudan, but I think it would be really a good idea.
Well, they have a lot of experience working with international observers and working with the international community to assure fair elections. So they're especially experienced in this area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it always in just about every interview I do, I end up talking about the media. Because here we are in the media, but I'm sure you're hearing this show on the independent media, not on the corporate media, because the corporate media usually doesn't talk about these things. So what's your experience with the corporate media? And you're the media with all these books that you have, Ed Rosenthal, and working with High Times all those 17 years. And what do you have to say about the media and the issue of marijuana right now?
No media has been friendly to marijuana. Certainly it's not on NPR or, it's not covered on non-commercial television. And even KPFA, for about 8 years, marijuana was not allowed to be mentioned on KPFA.
And KPFA is a local station here that's non-commercial, listener-sponsored.
Yes, and that, they were on the forefront of free speech radio, and yet... there was a period in the 80s and 90s when you could not mention marijuana. They would not ever have anything about the topic or anything on there. It was that was really terrible. And this was after commercial radio. I still was being covered on commercial radio. I still got interviews and so on. Mm-hmm. So I think that a lot of people either thought it was a big joke or were running scared about it. But I think the commercial media, especially the print media, has really been covering the medical marijuana issue in a sympathetic way and has been getting a good airing. I wouldn't say I've seen it so much in the national magazines as much as attacks on the war on drugs. Mm-hmm. That's a euphemism because can't put drugs in jail. If you put the drugs in jail, people will just use them up fast. So you can't jail the drugs. So instead, it's a war on people. And, marijuana is an interesting subject in terms of being a war on people because with most drugs, you're dealing with ethnic minorities. But with marijuana, what you're really dealing with is a cultural minority that is being attacked, that comprises many people of many ethnic backgrounds. So it doesn't matter whether you're black, brown, white, yellow. They have police and the government has a true contempt and fear of people who are living alternative lifestyles. And their response to that is put them in jail any way you can. And so that's why marijuana is an equal opportunity oppressor, mm-hmm. in terms of people who enforce the laws for it.
And what about people who use marijuana? Do you think that do you have any information about how that cuts across class and ethnicity? And what's the number of people who? I'm sure this has got to be a guess, but I would imagine that you have one about people in the United States who use marijuana.
It's probably about 50 million people smoke marijuana at least once a year, and it cuts across all ethnic and class lines. So everybody from Native Americans to the most recent immigrants into the United States uses it.
Mm-hmm. And, what about internationally? Do you have any sense of what's going on internationally with marijuana? I have the impression that it grows all over the world, oftentimes wild, or maybe that's hemp, which you also write about, which is another subject that we won't even get into right now because that's another huge, incredible subject that does need to be addressed, but we'll do that another time. I have the impression that smoking marijuana has been very big in the United States, and that it's traveled to other, that custom sort of is traveling to other countries where it's not, it may be, have grown but not been used in that way. Although certainly I know in the Caribbean it's been used medicinally forever. Do you have any impressions about international countries in marijuana?
I don't think that the United States was the first. The people in the United States were the first to discover marijuana. It's been all over the world for ages, literally ages, before the dawn of history. And it's in Europe, in the 50s and 60s, people used hashish, but that's another form. It's a concentrated form of marijuana. In Asia, it's been known for thousands of years. It's part of the culture there, as it is in many of the Asian countries, and the same thing in Africa. So it's not that it's been discovered. It's that it was discovered, just popularized in the United States in the last 35 years.
And, you know, now that I think about it, I probably have that impression because it's been lumped in with other harder drugs that didn't even exist in certain levels of society in some countries where tourists have gone, American tourists, and it's become, gotten lumped in as something that people do now that they didn't do previously.
No, but Americans were some of the last people to discover it. Mm-hmm.
Well, again, back to this matter of when you have a whole book on it here, why marijuana should be legalized. So, are there some more things that you want to say about that, Ed Rosenthal, right now about what's going on politically and why it should be legalized and why it's not?
No, well, I'm going to sum up the book in just a few sentences. No law should be more harmful than the behavior that it's trying to regulate. And certainly the marijuana laws have been more harmful to both the individual, to the community, and to society as a whole than marijuana could ever be. And therefore we should change the laws. That's the bottom line of it. And nothing else counts except that these laws have created such harm throughout in individuals' lives, in communities' lives, that they should be abolished immediately. Mm-hmm. And reparations should be paid to the people who suffered under these laws.
And there are people who have been in prison for many years and are going to continue to be. Maybe you could expand on what you're talking about as the harm, because I imagine most listeners don't really even understand what it is.
There are people in prison federally for life without parole for marijuana. No matter how much marijuana they might have imported or what they were involved in, they weren't doing anybody any harm. They should be released. That's the bottom line.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any numbers on that? I think I saw something real quick about the numbers of people in prison. I don't know if you remember it off the top of your head. That's a lot to ask.
Well, there are between 500,000 and 600,000 people in prison right now for marijuana use in the United States. Hard to believe that, isn't it?
Well, it must have taken a certain amount of courage on your part to come out and talk about this subject.
I'm just stupid.
I'm sure that's not true. Have you ever gotten trouble from authorities from talking about it? Do you get harassed, you find, in soft ways? If not hard?
No, I've never actually been harassed by it because of it. And I used to do expert testimony in courts, and I was well respected. So actually, I feel that being a writer sort of insulated me a little bit from the general oppression.
Mm-hmm. And we're going back to talking more about what's happening politically. What do you think that you said in the beginning of the interview, I think, that it's going to get a lot worse in terms of arresting people. I know I hear oftentimes that, you know, the very police that are doing the arresting are high, or they take the marijuana and they smoke it. And it's just so much hypocrisy. It's really hard to grok.
I'd really like to address that. You know, for many years, we heard from the police that, oh, we don't really like the marijuana laws. We just have to enforce the laws because they're here. But then when it came time to change the laws, for instance, the medical laws regarding it, you see, who's in opposition to it? It's the sheriff's department. It's the police department, the narcotics officers, NOA, Narcotics Officers Association. All of these people are always up putting this anti-marijuana propaganda out. And they're really not neutral parties. They've been lying to us all along, just like they do on the stand all the time. They are not neutral parties. They should not be involved in the debate. They are there to enforce the law, not to make policy. They have no expertise about making policy. They don't have any special expertise about drugs except how to identify them and how to arrest people who have them. As far as knowledge about what drugs do or anything like that, a lot of these guys, you know, if they weren't police officers, they'd be doing manual labor somewhere. They just don't have it. So, I mean, for them to be advising society, I think that's a wrong move.
Mm-hmm. And they probably have a lot of misinformation, too, from their higher-ups.
Well, they're just ignorant. Mm-hmm. Ignorant. They have no special expertise in it. What gives them special expertise? Seeing some junkie high on drugs and equating it to marijuana? No, I think that they're overstepping their bounds.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ed Rosenthal, you could give us a way to contact you. Are your books easy to find?
Books are in most bookstores, and you can contact me at askedr@aol.com.
Okay. And you have a publishing company called Quick Trading.
Yes.
Quick Trading that's put out your most recent books and puts out other books too.
Yes, yes. It's a sort of a free speech publisher.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you very much for this interview, Ed Rosenthal. My name's Sue Cipriano. Thanks for listening. Ed Rosenthal can be heard on the internet and on the radio at kpfa.org. That's www.kpfa.org. It's the last Wednesday of the month at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.